Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now, this presses the point of anonymity in giving, doesn't it? You know what? No one needs to know what you give except God. No one needs to know except God, who knows everything anyway. And so we don't have to advertise our giving before others. And that keeps things on the up and up in terms of our motivation. If nobody knows, then our motivation is funneled into the right motivation. If no one except God knows what we give, then our motive is directed toward purity, isn't it? Think about it. You might have a heart to appear good before people, but if you don't tell anybody about your good deeds, then that directs us towards pure motive. And you know what? When you experience God's blessing, you're going to be sold in that direction. This is the way to give. This is the way to pray. This is the way to fast. This is the way to serve. It's between me and the Lord, and it's a good thing. It keeps us funneled toward purity of heart. Real religion, right religion, godly religion. It is good to try to remain as anonymous as possible when you do your charitable deeds.
Greetings, brothers and sisters in the Lord. We welcome you to the podcast of Calvary Chapel Echo Park here in Los Angeles, California. To find out more about our fellowship, please visit us online at ccechopark.com. And now let's humbly turn our eyes to our Father in heaven as we open His Word. We will be in the New Testament book of Matthew. Let's join Pastor David Higa with the teaching as we set our hearts and minds on the Lord.
Matthew chapter 6, right at verse 1. Let's begin reading. It says, "Take heed," or in the NIV it says, "Be careful." I don't know if anybody speaks like that. Take heed, right? It's more like, hey, son, be careful, right? It's be careful that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, verse 2, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will also reward you openly. These verses pertain to right charity, which is what I titled this message, right giving. And right giving comes not with a show to everybody on the outside, right? Right giving is really between you and the Lord. And that's why we see this word secret, charitable deeds in secret, right, in these verses here. But, you know, before we actually start to look at these verses, I want to remind you of the context that we're in the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, so first, remember, Matthew recorded that Jesus sat down and began to teach them. Remember, after he was baptized, remember, John said, baptizing you, well, Jesus said, to fulfill all righteousness. Remember, we noted this, that it was only after 30 years living on here that Jesus began his ministry. Now, we can't even wait 30 days, huh? Lord, use me. I got the goods, right? I went to seminary. I went to Bible school. I know the Greek and the Hebrew. I'm ready, Lord, right? Jesus, he didn't start for, what, 30 years? Can you imagine that? Now, remember, we noted this. He began his ministry after the baptism of the Spirit. Not that he needed to be baptized, but it's an example for us. Unless the baptism of the Spirit comes upon us, we're not ready for anything. We're not ready for anything, any kind of ministry. Remember that? But then remember, immediately he was taken out to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So remember, we put this together. After 30 years, he's baptized by the Spirit, now ready for the ministry. He was always ready, but then know this. Once the baptism comes upon you, boy, the attack's going to come too. Right? And so he's tested. And so after those two things, then he begins his ministry. And it's interesting. He begins his ministry by doing miracles. As I mentioned, the miracles, they ratify the message. But then in chapter 5, verse 2, it says that he began to teach them. Right? So he didn't just do these miracle conferences. Right? He began to teach the kingdom of heaven. And really, that really became his mainstay. And we're going to see this. You know, when you get into the Matthew 13 parables, there's going to be a transition from the multitudes to the disciples. And it's right there in the middle of Matthew 13. They're going to say, hey, why are you teaching in parables? Just tell us, right? Feed us and tell us. Give me what I want. Give me what I need. I need food. I need housing. I need money. I need a car. I need an education. Give me, give me, give me, Lord. That's what we say, right? Well, the interesting thing in the Matthew 13 parables, what he gave them was what? Teaching, didn't he? And you know, that really separated, I would just say, the men from the boys. The boys want things, right? The men, they take responsibility. And so the disciples, they came to him and they said what? Lord, what do these parables mean? I want the teaching. I don't just want the miracles, I want the teaching. Now, which is more important? The teaching or the miracles? We've talked about this. It's the teaching. The teaching is eternal. Not one jot or tittle of my word will ever pass away. But you know what? The miracles will. All those that were healed, they went on to get sick and die. All those that were raised, they went on to die. The miracles are temporal. The message is what? Eternal. And so right here, very important, after he began his ministry doing miracles, it says that he sat down and began to teach them, chapter 5, verse 2. Now, remember we noted from that point on, his ministry really started to take shape and form. And so we see all these miracles that come after it, but the miracles, they ratify what? The message. And so Jesus began his Sermon on the Mount, this first discourse, with the what? The Beatitudes. Remember that? What are the Beatitudes? Well, the Beatitudes are blessings. And really, it's a right heart. It underscored a right heart that desired what? Character. Remember, behind all these different blessings was character. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, peacemakers, and those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Eight character qualities. Beatitudes, right? It speaks of the heart. Character. And in these eight character qualities, God, he pours out his blessings upon. Remember, we looked at that. That was the premise of the Sermon on the Mount. Then he went on to talk about becoming salt and light to the earth. A right heart with right character causes one to have a right influence. Salt and light. You're not like the world, right? You're set apart from the world. But your testimony to the world. Your salt and light. Remember, Jesus said, if salt loses its saltiness, right? Why would you sprinkle salt if it doesn't have saltiness? Just throw it away. And why would you have a light that is shining on, then you put a cover over it? Remember, he talked about this. And so as we are blessed with these character qualities, we should become salt and light to the world. A right heart with right character, it causes one to have right influence. Now, we also looked at, and this is the remainder of chapter 5, which we finished up last week. We looked at a right righteousness according to what? The intent of the law versus what? The letter of the law. Remember that? You have heard it said, but I say unto you. You have heard it said of old, the letter of the law, but I say unto you, the intent of the law. You see, real righteousness is right righteousness. It's God's intent of the law. And so we just finished that in chapter 5. And so now in chapter 6, Jesus, you know what he's going to address? Right worship. Or as I like to say, and sometimes say, right religion or true religion. What did James say? What is true religion? What did James say? Remember that? True religion is this: to look after orphans and widows. That's true religion. You see, real religion is not only what you say and how you look on the outside. It is more what you do and who you are on the inside. And Jesus addresses this next in his Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6. He teaches on right charity, which we're going to look at this morning, verses 1 through 4, which is really right giving. Now, I wrote about this in your bulletin sermon. You know, where does that word charity come from? You know, if you read a King James Bible, the older ones, you know, every time the word agape is used in the Greek, you know how it's transliterated? As charity. Isn't that a better translation? Because when it's transliterated as love, you know what happens? We mix that up with all other kinds of love. The phileo love. storgio love, even the eros love. You know that love that they talk about in Hollywood? That's not love. That's lust, eros. But agape, as was coined specifically, and I'm going from Pastor Chuck's notes, he says that really agape, it was really coined to be used in the New Testament. It became commonly used, but really it's to express a unique love from God the Father. It's an unconditional, sacrificial love. For God so what? Loved the world. Very different than, oh, I love chocolate. Right? It's that sacrificial, unconditional love. And so right charity stems from that, which is the topic that we're going to cover this morning. Right giving. And this is under the context of right religion. We're going to look at charity or charitable contributions. Contributing of your time and energy and resources to serve the Lord and to serve others. You know, if you're a child of God, if you're a born-again Christian, you ought to have right charity. And the right charity is what? Doing things not to be shown to men. It's not like, all right, everybody watch me put this $1,000 in the offering. You know what? Your reward is there. There's no reward in heaven for doing that. He says to give in secret because your heavenly Father knows. Don't do it to be seen by man. But right religion, it encompasses right giving. But then next week, we're going to look at right prayer. And then the following week, we're going to look at right fasting. You see all these religious aspects here? And so this is really the course that Jesus is going to take. This morning, we're going to cover this first one, right charity, in verses 1 through 4. And so I want you to firstly notice the term charitable deed. Notice that? It's used three times in verses 1 through 4. In verse 2, also in verse 3, and verse 4. Charitable deed. Actually, it's used four times. Yeah, it's used in each verse. I miscounted. So, if it's used four times in four verses, no doubt it's a very important topic in the kingdom, right? Charitable deed. You think that's important in the kingdom? Well, absolutely. It's used four times in these four verses. The definition in Strong's Concordance is this. Charitable means to practice the virtue of mercy, to show one's compassion as exhibited in giving alms. And so charitable deed is not just a merciful thought, although it begins with that thought. Charitable goes on to giving alms. It's a verb. It can't be just say, well, having good thoughts towards something. Well, James said this. Is that going to do anything for your brother that's in need? Say, hey, I'll pray for you, brother. Go on. Have a good day. What did James say? That's not true religion, is it? You see, being merciful is a verb. It's not just a thought. And so giving alms, it has a tangible action. Kingdom living involves charitable deeds. Make no mistake about it. Kingdom living this life of faith as you become born again, it involves charitable deeds, like giving donations or contributions or assistance or your time. Their action, their verbs. Giving to those, what, that are less fortunate. Now, also notice the first two words in verse 1. Take heed. Take heed. Should we get, hey, get your attention. In the NIV translation, it says, be careful. So it's a warning. It is a warning that when we do a charitable deed, we need to check our motives. If the motive is to be seen by men, quote unquote, then what did he say? There's no reward from our Heavenly Father because the charitable motive is wrong. Okay, so if you're doing things to be seen by men, there's no reward for you in heaven. Your reward is that pat on the back. But this infers that there is a reward, right? When he says there's no reward if your motives are wrong, it infers that there is a reward, and we're going to see that. There is a reward when we do charitable deeds with right motives, which we'll get to in a little bit. But firstly, notice that our charitable deeds must be done with a right motive, and that is a selfless motive. Right? So we don't sound the trumpet, oh Lord, I'm going to show everybody how much I gave today, or how much I served today. That's not doing it with the right motive. You're doing it what? For the visibility of people. Now, why do you think our Lord begins this passage on giving with a warning like that? Why do you think there's a warning like that? You know why? Because we're probably tempted to do it. That's why. He's not going to give a warning if we're not tempted to do it. You see, he knows that we like to be seen by men. He knows that. He knows that we worry about what people think. Does that ring a bell? Am I the only one that's worried about people, what people think? Well, you know what the Lord says? Don't worry about what people think. Worry about what I say and think. But that's our problem, isn't it? And that's why there's this great warning to be seen by men. It's not only here, but you know where it's also? It's in prayer. Don't pray to be seen by men. It also is in fasting. Oh, I've been fasting, brother. I'm so weak. He says, don't let anybody know. It's between you and the Lord. See, true religion is a religion of the heart. It's your relationship with the Lord. Nobody else needs to really see and know what you're doing. But I got to tell you, as your heart is right and you're meeting with the Lord personally, right? He's going to reward you outwardly. Isn't that what he says? You know, you can always tell somebody that is truly worshiping the Lord. It's not what they necessarily say or their demonstrative actions in church. And it's how they live at home. Isn't that what it is? It's how they pray in the closet. But you know, as they do that, you see on the outward that God's blessing is upon them. You know, it really is a reality that we like to look good, don't we? On the outside. That's the reality. To be praised by people. But you know what? God teaches us not to worry about the outside. You know, the Bible teaches don't worry about the outside. Don't worry about how pretty you are on the outside. Worry about how faithful you are on the inside. God teaches us not to worry about the outside, but to allow Him to transform you on the inside, in our hearts. And you know when He does that, your outside will be just fine. It'll be good to go. And so, regarding these rewards, that's referenced in verse 1. You know, actually it says that there is no reward in verse 1 if we give with wrong motives. Isn't that what it says? But it infers that there is rewards in heaven that awaits us if we give with right motives. And that is the reason for the title of this morning's message. I titled it Right Charity or Right Giving. It's with right motives. It's not to be seen by men. It's between you and God. You see, when we are living rightly in the kingdom, we are giving with right motivations. And there is a reward for us in heaven when we give this way. How many like rewards? You know, I sure like rewards. And especially if it's from God. If it's from the Lord, He's going to reward me. Boy, I want to get to those rewards. Lord, what does it take? His rewards are not like man's rewards. His rewards are eternal. You see, the Pauline epistles and the general epistles, you kind of span through them. They refer to, I believe, these rewards as crowns. If you do a word search on crowns, which I did, there are many references to crowns. There's the victor's crown, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. There's the crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. There's the crown of life, James wrote about, James chapter 1, verse 12. And then there's the crown of glory, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. Now, there could be other crowns, but these are the ones that are listed in Scripture. Now, the Apostle John also referred to crowns in Revelation chapter 4, verse 4. That the church in heaven will have crowns of gold. Remember that? Revelation chapter 4, verse 10. And then John described how the church will lay their crowns before the throne of God and worship him. If you read Revelation chapter 4, the crowns at the church, those are the Stephanos, the victor's crown. They finish this life of faith. They've given with the right motives. And they have these crowns. And they're going to lay their crowns before the throne in worship. Now, let's think about this. Now, measure this out. This isn't definitively say, but in my mind, perhaps these crowns are rewards of worship. Maybe, because they lay their crowns at the feet of Jesus in worship. Maybe. Could be, right? So perhaps these crowns, they're rewards of worship when we get to heaven. And so, you know, I don't know about you, but I'd like a few of these crowns if they're that. If they're going to increase my drawing near to the Lord. Now, heaven is heaven. Right? Getting there is a big thing, but you know, there's different rewards in heaven. And it's made clear in Scripture. And so, if these crowns are the rewards, and they get us into a special place in heaven of worship, boy, I want some of those crowns. Actually, I want all of them, if that's the case. Now, I don't know for sure. But in reading Revelation 4, you know, that was my sense that perhaps it has to do with the intimacy of worship. And so right charity or right giving with right motives ought to be at the top of my list in this life of faith, don't you think? If I can give with right motives, and that's going to get me more crowns to enter into worship with the Lord, if, boy, I'm thinking I'm going to give a little bit more. With right motives. You see, part of our rewards is worshiping our Lord in heaven. I think that could be it. Part of our rewards in worshiping our Lord in heaven is going to be predicated on how you give our charitable deeds on this earth. Maybe. Could that be? You know, I think so. Meditate on these scriptures I've given you and let me know. Email me what you think. But there's definitely rewards in heaven, and there's definitely crowns in heaven. And you read Revelation 4, those crowns are right there in worship of the Lord. They lay them right there at his feet. And so perhaps the rewards in worshiping our Lord in heaven is predicated upon how we give with right motives, our charitable deeds on this earth. But not before men to see, right? Your reward? It's not going to come if you're doing it before men to see. That is your reward, your pat on the back. But before God, what? In secret. Isn't that interesting? Kind of things to ponder. Giving between you and the Lord in secret. Because the reward's going to be how you enter into worship, perhaps. Now, the Bible teaches that these rewards for the church are received at the Bema Seat of God, when the church will be judged. This is the good judgment. The bad judgment is for unbelievers in the great white throne judgment in Revelation 13. But this is the good judgment, the Bema Seat judgment of Christ. It's for believers, where believers will receive their rewards or will receive their crowns. And so let me read this with you. It says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day, this is the day of the Bema Seat judgment, will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. You see, the fire in this Bema Seat judgment is a refiner's fire that prepares us to be in the presence of the Lord. And those things that we did in this life of faith for the Lord, with right motivations, in serving him and serving others, giving our alms, ALMS, our alms, which are our offerings of time, energy, and resources, as a charitable contribution with right motives, not to be seen by men, then we will be rewarded when we stand before the Lord in worshiping him. Now, let's look at verse 2. It says, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Now, I want you to notice it. It says, therefore, when, not therefore, if. Notice that? In the kingdom, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and kingdom life begins, it is not an option not to give. It is not an option not to do charitable deeds. When you become a born-again believer, it is not an option to not serve. It is not an option to not give. It is not if, but when you do a charitable deed. Notice that? Do you see the inference there? It's a strong inference. As a child of God, we should be charitable with our time, with our money, with our energy, and with our service to God and to others. But you know what? When we take a step of faith and give, it actually becomes a blessing. And we're tested in that manner. Every single week, we're tested, aren't we? Well, Lord, should I give today? Well, Lord, should I serve today? I'm a little tired. Now, I'm not saying you don't do this in a legalistic manner, but, you know, it does require a step of faith. And as you take a step of faith, you know, I guarantee you're going to be blessed. When we take a step of faith and give, it actually becomes a blessing to give. But you know what? We'll never know that blessing if we don't take a step and give with right motivations. You're not giving to receive. You're giving with the right motivations, just to glorify God and to serve others. If you take that step of faith, you know, I guarantee you that the blessing of giving will come upon you. Now, this is something that the Holy Spirit does supernaturally inside your heart when you give. It's that, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, principle. It actually goes into action upon a step of faith. But until you take that step of faith, it's not going to go into action. It is a spiritual principle. And you know, I personally would go even further to say it's a spiritual law. I remember listening to Pastor Chuck teach about that. It's actually a spiritual law, he thought. You know, I think, you know, probably is. That when you give with a cheerful heart, Paul says, that the Lord blesses you first and foremost. You know how? By changing your heart.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Calvary Chapel Echo Park podcast. If you are in the LA area, you are invited to fellowship with us. We are a simple and small church with humble hearts serving a mighty and magnificent God. If you need prayer, please reach out to us and we will pray for you. Visit us online at ccechopark.com. To God be the glory.